Our scripture today is Ephesians 5, 8 through 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
Bet. There we go. I can hear it buzzing now. As I was saying, I bet you never heard of Ronald Wayne, but you might have heard of him if he had made a slightly different decision. Ronald Wayne was one of the co-founders of the Apple company. And about 2 weeks after Apple launched, he sold his 10% share in the company for $800. If he had kept the share, it would be worth about $40 billion today. He missed out on a big opportunity, and he had no idea at the time the value of that opportunity that he was turning down. And when I hear a story like that, it kind of makes me wonder, like, what opportunity might I be missing out on? And sometimes I think on a bigger scale, what might we as the church be missing out on? And this morning I want to suggest that a good opportunity for us to latch on to, for us to not miss out on, is the opportunity to make connections with college students and young adults. And maybe it seems like we're already doing that because we have a college ministry and we have a good group of young adults, but think about it like this. The church has a really good understanding of the importance of, say, children's ministry. And rightly so, because we want our children to be raised with biblical values and by teaching from Scripture, and so that's good. And in the same way, we know that we need youth ministry, that as kids grow older and they begin to make bigger decisions and form longer-lasting relationships, that we want them to do those things with God in mind. And so we put a lot into those ministries, and that's a good thing. But there's a tendency for the church to really invest in people from birth to age 18, and then there's this weird gap from about 18 to 30 years old where that investment kind of dries up a little bit. And if you don't believe me on that, then think about some statistics. The numbers say that 4 out of 5 high school seniors who are active in youth group have no spiritual connection in college. They also tell us that while teenagers are some of the most religiously active Americans, 20-somethings are the least religiously active Americans. And they say that 59% of young Christians will leave the church, and only about 35% of them will ever come back. And believe it or not, there are people who are totally okay with that. There are people who say that young people, well, they're too busy, they don't make money, they're not bringing a whole lot in, they're not really worth investing in. But I disagree. And in fact, I think that age range from about 18 to 30 might be one of the most important groups that we can possibly invest in. Here's some reasons I think that. First and simplest reason is that they're here. Students and young adults are among us and around us. In Fort Worth alone, there are tens of thousands of college students. And there are even more young professionals who are moving to our city, and they're working and they're living here, and they're starting careers here and raising families. Our situation creates this kind of reverse Great Commission. Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples. Well, when there's so many campuses and so much development here, the world's coming to us. And so we have an opportunity to make those connections. The second reason I think this is important is because students and young adults are in a crucial life stage. There's kind of an unspoken expectation that when young people leave the church, That's okay because I'll just come back eventually. But besides the fact that that doesn't actually happen, there's a much more important reason why I think that expectation is flawed. To show you what I mean by that, I'm going to need a little audience participation. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if these things apply to you. Raise your hand if between the ages of 18 and 30, if you chose a career path during that age range. All right, so you got a lot of good hands. That's good. Raise your hands if between the ages of 18 and 30, you met or married your spouse. Again, a lot of hands. If between the ages of 18 and 30, you made friends who remain long-term friendships for you. Right. So you can kind of see what I'm illustrating about how crucial that life stage is. Those are the kinds of decisions that we make in our young adult years. And we don't want people making those kinds of decisions while they're taking a vacation from God. The third reason I think this is important is because in general, folks in this age range don't really think that the church is relevant. And I think we can help with that. So you understand what I mean. I want to get you in the head of a college student, get you kind of in the world of a young person, because life on campus is not always as fun and free and silly as you might imagine it is. In fact, it can be a little rough at times. Did you know that 44% of American college students report symptoms of depression? 44%, that's just who reports it, almost half. Or did you know that suicide is the second leading cause of death among college students? Or that about 1 in 5 college students meet the criteria for alcohol abuse or dependence? Did you know that researchers estimate that every year about 2,000 students die from alcohol-related incidents, or about 97,000 students each year report experiencing alcohol-related sexual assault? Or that studies have shown that about 26% of female students experience sexual assault during their college years? I'm not putting this stuff out here to create some kind of dark, brooding image of the campus, because I love the campus and I love the students and I want really good things for them, and so I want to help you see this is the world that young people are living in. And they might be here with us on Sundays, but otherwise they're surrounded by some tough stuff. And if you're shocked by this, it's because we never talk about it. But students and young adults need a safe place to talk about depression and drugs and alcohol and sex and sexual assault and racial tensions and same-sex attractions and doubts about faith, and they need to be able to do that without fear of judgment or rejection. And schools do a remarkably poor job, just a terrible job, honestly, of addressing these kinds of issues, which means that we have the opportunity to take the lead on this. Unfortunately, often at church, these kind of subjects get kind of swept under the rug because they don't feel close to home for most of us. But for students and young adults, they are close to home. And if they don't feel like they can talk about things like that here, well, they're going to find somewhere else where they can. And lastly, another reason that this is important is because I believe there's a scriptural mandate for us to invest in students and young adults. I think that biblical relationships and biblical principles call us to make those kinds of connections. Let's think about just a few important mentoring relationships in Scripture. Relationships like Moses and Joshua. By Moses' leadership, this young man, Joshua, was responsible for leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. He became a great military leader and a beacon of faith for his people. Or relationships like Elijah and Elisha. Because of Elijah's connection to Elisha, the young prophet was able to help many people. He was well respected by the people, and he carried on a legacy that had begun in Elijah. Or maybe a more common relationship between Paul and Timothy. Just think about how Paul helped Timothy, the young preacher. He gave him counsel, and he helped to shape him into an effective agent of God's mission. And just imagine if everyone in the church was providing spiritual guidance for their own Elisha or Joshua or Timothy. It would be good. And so in Scripture, I see this clear reality that when the older generation connects with the younger, good things happen. And there's another scriptural idea that I think applies here, a statement made in Ephesians chapter 5 from what Israel just read. In Ephesus, as in most places, the early Christians were subject to suffering and hardship because the world around them was not supportive of or conducive to their faith. And so in chapter 5, Paul reminds the Ephesian Christians that they are in a clear position to reflect God in their culture. And he encourages them in verses 15 and 16. He says, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." In other words, he says, the darker things get around you, the brighter your light can shine when you live for Christ. And based on some of the things I've shared already, I would say that that phrase, "the days are evil," is pretty applicable in the world of college students and young adults. And according to Ephesians, that creates an opportunity. So I see in Scripture a mandate for us to make the most of this opportunity to connect students and young adults to God's mission, for us to take the chance to extend the light of Christ to the campuses and to the city around us. I realize there are ways that we are already doing that. I also realize that there may be many of you here who are unfamiliar with the ways that we're already doing that. And so I just want to take a moment to kind of inform you about what we have done, what we are doing to seize this opportunity. And while I'm at it, I have some exciting news about the future of our college ministry that I'll share with you. But here's a little history. This opportunity to connect with college students is something that was noticed quite a while ago by Joe and Emily Bullock. About 10 years ago, to be exact, one of their own students started, or their own children started going off to college. And they hoped that a church would take their children in. They prayed that their kids would be met with open arms and welcome and connected with the loving and caring congregation while they were in school. And then they noticed that there was an opportunity right here for them to provide that very same love and care for students that were showing up at Southside. So they began to connect with the TCU students who were here, and the Frogs for Christ ministry was born. And believe it or not, there are people here who are active and involved in the church, and they might not even be part of the body here if not for Frogs for Christ. As a matter of fact, I am one of those people who connected to the church through the college ministry. And Joe and Emily and others laid this great groundwork for a ministry that cares for students and loves them deeply. The college ministry has done an awesome job and continues to do a great job of connecting students to the church as God sends them our way. And God has been sending them. You might not realize in the past year that we've seen students from TCU and TCC and Texas Wesleyan and UNT and UTA and Texas Women's University. Not to mention our own high school graduates who have gone off to campuses all across the nation. Plus, we've seen college graduates and young professionals and single adults and young married couples. God has been at work. And as a result of God's work, the college ministry has become in many ways primarily about making connections. Not just about connecting students to the church, but connecting students from many schools to one another so they can encourage and uplift each other. Connecting partners in the gospel to young people who are living and working in the world around them. Connecting distant generations to meet together at the foot of the cross. It's about connecting baby Christians to mature Christians. Connecting those in need to those who can provide. Connecting the campus to Christ. And ultimately, it's about connecting every one of us, young or old, working or in school, single or married. It's about connecting all of us to the mission of God. And with that in mind, with all of these connections in mind, I told you I had some news about the future of the college ministry. And so I'm excited to let you know that we're kind of rebranding the college ministry a little bit, as you've probably seen behind me. As God sends us students, We have sought to connect with them and serve them, and we just want to follow his lead to the best of our ability on that. And so in light of this, Southside's college ministry is becoming Connect College Ministry. And I'm really excited. I'm excited about this step, this kind of direction for the ministry, because I think it's going to help bring students together as God sends them. And I hope that it's going to help empower us as the church to connect with students and to love them well. And that's what it's really all about. If you're wondering right now what you're supposed to do with all of this, I say if you can show another person that God loves them, then you can do ministry. To put it in Ephesians 5 terminology, you can be the light. And when it comes to students and young adults, they're kind of looking to the rest of the church to determine what that means. And so if they see a church where people tend to keep to themselves and where conversations don't get too deep, then they're going to do that too. Or if they see a church where people spend all their time around people who are similar to them and in their own age group, then they're going to do that too. Or if they see a church where Sunday morning worship is overwhelmingly well attended and other church gatherings are treated as an afterthought, they're going to do that too. But if they see a church where the love of Christ is freely and openly shared, where people care deeply for one another, and where the church is constantly living on the mission of God, then they're going to do that. And if I can just kind of speak on behalf of students and young adults, church, we need you. And in case you're here and you think that you don't have anything to offer that might be helpful, know this: whoever you are, however old you are or young you are, whatever your background is or your situation is, you are needed. Students and young adults need to witness young families and small children and Christian homes. I need to see that. We need to see people who are getting along in age and who are every bit as faithful in their old age as they ever have been. We need to be around people who are younger than us, who we can invest in and we can mentor and help. And we need the counsel of people who have made decisions that they admit were not great decisions. We need to hear stories from people who have overcome adversity through hope in God. So whoever you are needed. And I want to encourage and empower you to connect with students and young adults and to minister to them, because you can do that. But a big part of that empowering is to dispel a few myths. So I just want to bust a few myths that sometimes prevent us from taking that opportunity. The first myth is that as long as students and young adults are in church, our job is done. But I say it's not enough for them to just be present. They need to be engaged. And I say again, as a young adult, we're not always the best at doing the engaging. I'm kind of waiting for someone to move on that. But we do want to be engaged. As a matter of fact, some recent research at Lipscomb University revealed that the top things that young people want in a church is that they want to be mentored and they want opportunities to lead. So it's great if they're here, but they don't just want to be here. They want to be engaged and involved in the church. The second myth is that students and young adults are too busy and too sporadic to contribute much to church. And part of that's true. They are busy and sporadic, and sometimes even frustratingly so. But all of that freedom, all that activity and movement that we associate with young people, well, it creates a lot of openness. It creates a lot of willingness to learn. And so when they're here, we have an opportunity to connect with them and to equip them to be on mission throughout their busy and mobile lives. So what if instead of imagining that a college student is not crucial because they're just going to be here for 4 years and they're gone, what if we realize that we have the opportunity to teach a young person for years what it means to be missional? And then when they graduate, or when they switch jobs, or when they start a family, or move to a new town, then we send them into the world on mission. The last myth that I want to bust is the myth that the college minister will take care of it. I love it when people from church, when you guys notice a college student. It's great. I love that they're not being overlooked. They're being noticed. But sometimes I think there's a temptation to just get them to me as quickly as possible. And I want to encourage you to embrace your opportunity to connect with them. I definitely want to meet them. I definitely want them involved. But I want them to connect with you guys personally. So I want to urge you not to think of me as being like the liaison between the students and the church. Instead, I'm just going to deputize all of you as ministers to students and young adults. Because we're all the hands and feet of Christ. All this kind of begs the question, what does this look like practically speaking? So here are a few practical ideas about how you can make the most of this opportunity. Maybe a simple way to connect with students and young adults is just to meet them where they are after worship. Often there's a good conglomeration of students and young adults in this section over here. You just make a beeline for that section and make a connection there. It could mean going to Sunday lunch with a student or a young couple. You could come and prayer walk on a campus with me. I would love for someone to just come pray with me over a campus that we reach. It would be great. Maybe your class could collaborate with the Grace class on a project or a retreat, which happens from time to time, and it's good. Or you could pick a Tuesday night, and you could come and join the students and young adults in the chapel as we worship together at Thrive. You could offer to teach a Sunday morning class, or you could even just sit in on a Sunday morning class. You could have a young adult come and help teach your Bible class. And at the bare minimum, you can pray for the ministry. In fact, to help you do that, next week we're going to have prayer cards printed up and have a week of prayer for the college ministry as we lead up to the fall semester. But you don't have to wait for the prayer cards. You can pray for the ministry now. So there's some ideas, and that's not a whole list. It's not a complete list by any means. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there are a lot of ways that the church can make the most of these opportunities to connect with students and young adults. And as much as the students and young adults need the church, it's important for us to realize that the church needs them too. When we invest in them, we invest in the church. I just want to share a few good stories that serve as good examples of that. Some of you might know Landon Belcher. Landon came to Southside because his faith was important to him, and he didn't want to go through med school without the support of a good Christian community. And while he was here, he participated in the college ministry, and he went on mission trips, and he helped with events, and he was active in the church. And now Landon is out, and he's doing his clinical rotations for med school, and every few months, he's in a new town. He's meeting new people. And as a result of his time at Southside and his spirituality, Landon sees that clinical rotation as a mission opportunity. Everywhere he goes, he is reaching people and he is healing and helping people for God. That's good. Or the story of Chantel and Gary. Chantel recently graduated from TCU with a master's in education, and she'd been with us since she was a freshman. She and Gary started dating. And for Chantel, it was a deal breaker for Gary not to come to church with her. And so he came to church with her. Yeah. But for Gary, it was a little unfamiliar. He wasn't raised in church the way that many of us are. And so it was uncomfortable, and it was new, and it took him a while to get acclimated to it. But he kept coming, she kept bringing him, and he kept participating. And then one day something really cool happened. Last year, Gary contacted me and he said, "Hey Chris, would you send me like a daily devotional? Because I just want to be a better spiritual leader in my relationship." I thought that was really awesome. And now, Gary and Chantel are engaged to be married, and Joe Bullock is going to do their wedding. And they fully intend to stick around here to work and to stay active in the church at Southside. And the last story I want to share, I've shared the story a lot lately. I like it. It's about Yannette Duran. Yannette was invited to a game night at my house by her friend Laura, and just some students were coming over and going to play some games, kind of a low-key fun time. And Yannette came, and she liked the people she met, and she enjoyed the experience, and so she wanted to get more involved. And so she started coming to our Thrive worships on Tuesdays. She started coming to church on Sundays and staying for class. She came to our Elevate conference for students and young adults. And she just wanted to be at everything she could be at, and she wanted to do everything she could do and learn everything she could learn. And some of you might remember, a few months ago, Yannette decided to give her life to Christ in baptism. It all started because someone invited her to a game night with the college ministry. And Yannette told me that since then, she's had numerous opportunities to share her experience with others. She posted a video of her baptism on Facebook, and people started to ask her why she was baptized and what that means. And so Yannette's been able to share the gospel as a result of her baptism. And I could share a dozen other stories, but you can see what I mean. Investment in students and young adults is investment in the mission of God. And I don't want us to overlook that opportunity. There's just one more thing I want to do. Just one more thing. I want to ask if you are part of the college class, or you belong to the college class or the grace class, I just want you to stand up where you are. Just stand if you're in the college or grace class. Yeah. That's good. You can stay standing. I was gonna bring you all on stage, but we won't have time for that. Stay standing. I'm just going to pray over these people right now. Just quickly pray. So let's do that. God, we thank you today for time together, and we're here in your name, and you're here with us, and we appreciate that. We thank you for that. And you don't owe us your time or your attention, but you're here with us. God, we're so thankful and so aware of how you have been at work sending us students and young adults and helping us to invest in them. God, it's my prayer this morning that you will bless those who are standing right now and that we can connect with them. And then that they can bring their own circles of friendship and influence into your mission as well. That as they go into the world and as they're at work or school or whatever they do in life, that they'll just be on your mission. And God, I pray that you'll help us as the church to connect with them, to invest in them. God, reveal this opportunity to us in big ways. And I believe that you have been revealing it. I just pray that you will continue that, and you'll burden us with a divine burden of wanting to reach students and young adults. Thankful for what has been happening and what will continue to happen, and just prayerful about the future. God, I pray that you'll encourage and empower each of us to live on your mission, to live reflecting the love of Christ in our world. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks. So you can see that kind of powerful visual of the opportunity that we have here. I believe that college students and young adults are the church of tomorrow. We say that a lot about kids and about the youth group, and that's true too, but we are the next people who are going to get married and have kids and start careers and settle in. And when we are deeply invested in and mentored and allowed to lead, when we are really connected to the church, then as we plan our lives and build our relationships and begin our families, then we're going to do those things as an outpouring of God's love and his mission. And we're going to live our lives to the betterment of his church. And so I believe that at least one major opportunity that's available to us is to build up students and young adults into strong, faithful missionary Christians. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a sense that God is calling you to an opportunity of your own. Maybe right now you feel like there's something you might be missing out on, or something that God is moving you towards or expecting of you that you don't want to neglect. There's an opportunity this morning for you to give your life to Christ in baptism, and that's an opportunity that we don't want you to miss. If you need to talk, if you need to pray, or need someone to pray with you or for you, then in just a minute, our elders and our ministers are going to surround this room, and you can just go to one of them and just tell them what you need, and they'll help. You can do that now as we stand and sing.